TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
This just in, Sarah Palin joins Al-Qaeda, and welcome to the TagCast, episode 337.
Yeah, yeah.
I am Gatchalopagol.
Look at
Goal.
Us. Gatchalopagolical. Gullible.
And sitting kitty corner from me.
Meow.
Look, there's a kitty in the corner.
There is.
Meow.
Hi, I'm Kitty Guile. Wait, I'm Terry Kitty Galapagos. And welcome. It's hump day.
Yes.
We're humping.
It is.
All right.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, the Washington Post, was pumped.
She joined Al-Qaeda?
Sarah Palin, some newspaper said that she joined Al Jazeera Network.
Whoa.
Which is the TV network over there.
Dude, I know Al. He's cool.
And the Washington Post reported it as fact. It was like one of those onion articles or whatever,
okay.
You know?
And it got mistakenly reported as a true story.
Yeah, from the Washington Post that she was going to the Al Jazeera network.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Poor Sarah. But yeah, in case anybody knows or doesn't know, it's Wednesday. You get out there and do some humping. Happy hump day. And I got some Wehrmacht to blast in the background because they got a concert tomorrow in Medford. I'm not going to include it on the plugs because it's going to be done.
Nice.
So Thursday night, the 21st of February... Go see Wehrmacht if you're in Medford. They're playing at Music Head with Raptor, Bloodlust, Witch Cult, and Roadkill Carnivore. Man, that lineup just sounds...
That's a cool name.
Yeah. It's like just...
Roadkill Carnivore. Let me think about that for a while. So you got a roadkill, right? And it's on the road, it's dead, and it's a carnivore. So that means that it's dead and eating something meaty?
Or maybe it's a carnivore who eats roadkill.
All right. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. And in case no one knows, this is from the very first Wehrmacht album, Shark Attack, released in 1986.
Nice.
It's an instrumental called Fretboard Gymnastics. You ever heard of that? They're dancing all around
on the...
Makes
sense, yep. Makes sense, yeah.
They're having fun.
Do you ever do... do you practice runs? Do you do fretboard gymnastics in your spare times?
I do flips, backflips, and sometimes I work on the parallel bars.
Do you
balance beam.
Do you ever just noodle around, do your scales and stuff like or, you know?
Totally, yeah. Huh? Yeah, I've been playing a little ukulele lately.
Huh.
Have you ever played a I can't even say it.
A ukulele?
Yeah.
Ukulele.
It's for playing like Don Ho type stuff.
Yeah, Hawaiian instrument, right?
And it's the only stringed instrument that doesn't have the largest string on the top and get smaller. It has a little string on the top,
hands,
and then it goes goes a bigger string and then smaller and then smaller. But the smallest is on the top. It's wicked. It's wicked crazy.
So do you play them in unison like a 12-string kind of
thing? Yeah. You just play weird different transposed chords. But it's pretty cool. You know, you were talking about the false news story about Sarah Palin. I heard a false news story that leaked out in Montana first. And then did you hear about that?
No.
Dude, this was a good one. Let me see if I can.
I'm hoping it has to do with floss.
No. Why? What's going on with floss in the world?
Well, that's Montana, right? That's what they're known for cultivating?
Oh, that's right. Zappa reference, and it flew right over my head. What an idiot. No, but the Montana broadcasting officials say that a false alert of dead bodies rising on two of the state's TV stations was likely tied to an identical prank in a few other states. They think that the hacking came from overseas.
Yeah, somebody hacked, and it was like at the little ticker at the bottom of the screen, right?
Dead bodies rising from the grave and attacking the living.
Yeah.
And then they picked it up on stations in Michigan, California, Utah, and New Mexico. So,
oh, man. Well,
don't you think that would be scary if you actually, you're like making sure you're not watching The Onion or comedy show?
Yeah, I've seen more surreal stuff on TV that...
So they had to do some major retractions and say, we're sorry for reporting the false news.
Well, imagine if somebody would have hacked into that a little better timely when there was like one of those zombie walkathons going on through a town.
Wonkathongs?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I could see them coming out and they'd film all the zombies, you know, marching down the street.
Well, they'd probably shoot people then. You know, that's what I'm most worried about.
But they just don't die, though. You can shoot them. The real people die.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm worried about it in these zombie walkathons. Somebody's going to be senile with a gun, look out their window, and not know that the walkathon's going on in town, and they're just going to start blasting people with a shotgun because they think it's a zombie apocalypse.
And in this day and age, with the shit going with the guns, you don't want to be senile with a gun.
No.
Oh, I mean, you don't want to be seen with a gun, is what I meant.
Yeah.
Could you imagine some shooter that was just like 90 going out and blasting a mall or something like that?
Oh, it's gotta have happened.
I don't recall, but maybe the new.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't hear about many 90-year-olds packing guns. I guess, really.
Well,
maybe they're out looking for Bigfoot. Right?
Possibly. So you remember last week when we talked about those crazy diseases that were probably fake? Remember Carrie Davis sent us that?
Yeah.
She sent a message, so obviously she listened to the episode and said, I didn't mean you to cover all of them, just the funny ones.
Oh,
so I guess I was supposed to pre-screen them.
Yeah, all right.
But she sent me another thing now that is about bizarre workers' comp claims.
Oh, sweet.
Do you remember, I think it was I don't know what episode, but it was in season two, I think, when we talked about that lady who she got a worker's comp claim.
A workman's compman's claim.
That's good singing. Thanks. She got approved for that claim when she was having sex in a hotel room and a light fixture fell on her head.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And it was because she had to be in a hotel because she was away for work at business. So here's some other ones that are similarly related to that.
Okay, workman's comp claims.
Yeah, a man broke his hip trying to get his chips out of a vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
And he sued his work, and he missed work, and he got approved for that.
I would be frustrated, man, you know? I mean, all you wanted were your fucking chips.
Now, here's a not so you wouldn't think that this would work, but a lady was going to her garage and she tripped over her goddamn dog and broke her wrist.
Oh!
As she was a decorator for JCPenney, and since she was going out to the garage to retrieve some fabric samples that she'd temporarily stored there, she was technically in a work environment. She was also awarded compensation.
Was she on the clock?
No. Nope. She wasn't, but she was technically at her home in a work environment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, technicalities prevail.
If that's your place of business.
So I guess these get better as they go. These were the top five, and the fifth one we had already talked about last season, so we kind of skipped that one. A woman accidentally drank some lye in the break room of an Arby's. I don't even understand how that could happen.
Yeah,
it says she mistakenly drank from the wrong cup.
Lye. That's like a powder, though, isn't it?
See, but you know that little weird sensation that you get when you think you're drinking soda and it's
carbonation?
Grape? If you think you're going to be drinking Pepsi and it actually turns out to be grape soda or Mountain Dew, and it just, it tastes weird for a sec. That's what this is. Ooh, it's Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
But I don't know why there would be a cup of lye in a break room.
That's a cleaning solution, right?
It's known as liquid super death. She suffered third-degree burns to her esophagus.
Ow.
Yeah. And
how would you even survive that?
Obviously, she was awarded. That doesn't even seem like an issue.
Yeah, well, you should not have unlabeled toxic things in the workplace. So
oh, no.
See where they would be
an
liable.
An open cup of liable. Get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But how... I don't know. I don't understand. I think it's a cleaner or something, like to get
grease stains, roast beef stains out of the counter.
Like grout out of your shower.
Grout out of the shower.
Yeah. But maybe I'm thinking of like Lime Away. And for some reason, I think that's I'm connecting that
there
to
There you
lie.
Go. That makes more sense.
Right.
The
lie. So I don't even know if they're connected, but that's where
don't
I'm
the
going
mobsters
with.
Apparently use lye to dissolve bodies and shit?
Are you talking about mobsters or mobsters?
Mobsters. People who clean up after dead bodies. That the I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I know where you're headed.
I think it's all a lie. If anybody knows anything about lye or why there would be a glass of it next to someone's soda...
Arby's, maybe that's what makes that beef glisten. Like fish scales. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, I don't eat at Arby's a lot, but it is. It's got a rainbowy effect to it.
It's like you're looking at an oil slick.
Is that what it is? It's lye. Arby. Arby's, Ruby's. Ruby Tuesdays.
Arby Tuesdays.
So here's the number one. The headline just says, a man feeds bears while high.
Oh. At a zoo?
Brock Hopkins worked as a bear feeder at the Great Bear Adventures, which is a single greatest sentence that has ever been written. That's stupid. Anyway, one morning he decided to smoke all of the weed in his sock drawer before showing up for his job.
So he was inside his sock drawer smoking it?
I guess. That must have been a big sock drawer. Predictable hijinks
you got a high
ensued.
From your parents.
The hijinks ensued, ultimately resulting in a bear biting half of his ass off before he was able to scramble to safety. Oh, God, how could this have backfired? I don't understand. Despite the fact that the written decision of the court referred to Hopkins' choice to mix weed and grizzly bears as a mind-boggling stupid, he was awarded $65,000 to cover his medical expenses, and this is a lie. It says, and several pounds of salmon-scented weed. I think that the number one is always like a joke because last one it was like crazy pants syndrome or something, and it was just like you have a flu. Yeah.
What website is this coming from?
I didn't want to tell everybody. But
is this the same website that from the last one?
Yeah,
all right.
It's a mystery. If anybody knows where I'm getting this information, go ahead and try to guess because I'm not telling you.
I get
it's
some
from
crazy stories coming along my news feed every once in a while, and I gotta wonder whether they're true. There's one. The latest one I saw was. And I shared it, I do believe, but it was scenic pictures of Japan. Like, it just showed these, like, flowing blue mountains, right? Like,
yeah,
almost like glacier, like cool-looking scenery things.
Almost.
Like, they're just huge, right?
I don't think so.
And the guy put in, like, he put in nice photoshopped mist and, like, a little house, you know? That would be to scale of the picture and stuff. And these big, huge, flowing like awesome looking mountains, and then they're all pictures of landfills.
If you look closer, you mean?
Yeah, the blue stuff on them is like
tarps and shit.
Yeah, tarps so they don't fly, or netting so it doesn't fly away. And then you look, it just turns the whole thing to a different meaning when you see how large they are and scale of houses and stuff, and you know, just right next to the big old wall and shit.
Crazy.
Just think of the overpopulation and all the, you know, it's just everywhere. It just looks like a mountain.
Yep.
And maybe that's how mountains formed. Like back in the dinosaur days, maybe they just kept throwing their trash. You know, they had Twinkies back then in the dinosaur days, right?
You want a tissue? There's a tear rolling down your cheek.
Is there? I should. I am. Oh, I see.
You get it?
Damn it. I was slow.
I know. He's like, do I really? He's like,
I know. Well, my
suit.
Eyes are kind of watering because of
the landfills.
The stoned
Indians.
And then, yeah. And then the added tear. From
landfills
the,
and people calling from, us engines.
Mm-hmm, from the landfills. The dinosaurs, man.
Scalping
tickets. I didn't realize
I
had such a problem with the dinosaurs until I found out they were litter bugs.
I didn't know they were.
They did. They ate their Twinkies and just threw out, you know. That's how mountains happened. That's where do you think Mount Kilimanjaro came from?
See, it just makes you sad as an Indian.
It does.
Just like seeing people scalping tickets for Tomahawk.
Yeah. Now people are worried about the meteorite coming. You knew something was going to come after 2012, right?
It hit in Russia. Didn't you see it? One of them did.
So is it doomsday now?
No, it was the size of an SUV.
Yeah. What happened?
It hit the ground.
I know it hit, but I don't know any of the details about what
bunch
happened.
Bunch of
afterwards.
Windows broke out in all these buildings
uh-huh.
in Siberia, and like, it's cold in Siberia.
Yeah.
So, like, all these people are freezing in their offices and shit. It was an outrageous amount of square footage of glass that was broken.
Uh-huh.
Like, was it 100,000 square feet of glass from the sonic blast?
I would imagine it'd be like an atom bomb going off, right? Or something.
I don't know.
As far as the pressure, you know,
that
it would create. But, you know, if they're in an if it's in an office, you would be able to claim that on workers' comp, right?
Exactly. Yep. Even if you were having sex with your dog in the garage. Because that's what that lady was doing. And never get stoned and go feed the bears.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been eating honey and your girlfriend's on her period.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of smoking weed, and it's legal in Denver. This is this was not off a goofy website. This was actually an actual news site. So the entire Senate chamber at the Colorado Capitol smelled strongly of marijuana Wednesday. The lawmakers said. John Morris, the Senate president, asked during the session, "Do you smell marijuana in here, or is it just me?" Thereby
emanating from his pocket.
Cracking up his fellow lawmakers, and KMGH TV reported in Denver that that TV station did not report whether the legislators' giggling was due to collective contact high. Morris was also quoted, and this is the actual Senate president. He was quoted as saying, "If the sergeants would please douse all the doobies in the area."
Oh.
So I guess you can joke about it when it's legal in your state. And I guess if it's legal, it's like having a cigarette.
Well, what probably happened is somebody was probably outside the thing waiting to go in, and they're smoking a doobie, and the doors opened and wafted it into the room.
Or you can carry it on your person, so maybe people got the sticky, icky,
and just
skunky,
had an open
bunky.
Joint in their little
or
inside
bag
pocket.
Like I've been in a store or something, and someone would just come up, and I couldn't smell it, and all of a sudden they say, "Dude, you totally smell like really good weed." And I was like, "I do?
Uh-huh.
I don't smell it."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Dude, really?"
I've had people flock to me before in a bar.
Yeah. "I want what you got."
Yeah.
"You smell good." I was like, "Yeah, that's Axe." They're like, "Not that."
Steve Miller's coming around again.
I heard that.
When you think of Steve Miller, because, I mean,
he's
been around forever.
You're going to trip out. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Go ahead. No, so when you think of Steve Miller, what, as a guitarist... what would be your assumptions of his influences as far as guitar playing?
Mostly his influences range from raising chickens in Southern Oregon and the blues from the 60s in San Francisco.
The 60s blues in San Francisco, which would be...
Have you heard the early Steve Miller Band bluesy 60s stuff?
Like
before?
Mountain Honey?
No, way before that. Like like blues, not like you like.
Like
he
nothing
in,
I've heard on the radio from him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not, then no, I haven't.
Okay, we're talking pre-70s, right. Pre-Fly Like an Eagle, pre My Wife's Dog Killed His Chickens.
Mm-hmm. All right.
My wife's parents' dog killed Steve Miller's chicken.
Really?
Yep.
That's insane.
So that's what I thought you were gonna. I thought you were gonna
well,
say.
No, I
when you
looking...
think of Steve Miller, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And I said, "Dogs killing chickens."
Oh,
which is weird.
Well, I was thinking because I was looking, I saw him, and I clicked on the event at the Les Schwab Amphitheater, and it said for fans of, and so at first
the Doobie
I thought,
Brothers.
Yeah, at first I thought, well, who doesn't know Steve Miller?
Yeah,
and then I thought, and it said Doobie Brothers, Eric Clapton, and B.B. King.
And now those
and
are
I
blues.
Thought about it, and I thought
B.B. King's.
Well, I know
blues.
He's blues-based guitarist. You know, I mean, I put that together, and I could see some B.B. King because you know he likes that one note kind of stretching it.
Yep.
I don't really see the Eric Clapton reference.
But see, I think that Steve Miller is now returning to his blues roots. Now, the majority of people, when they think of Steve Miller, they think of radio hits like. Maybe not, but Abracadabra, Fly Like an 80s-ish. Eagle, Take the Money and Run.
When he had a little bit more of that organ going on.
Go
you're
on,
about.
Take the Money and Run.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
great song.
Big Old Jet Airliner.
Another great song if I didn't hear it all the time. Yeah.
Jungle Love.
No.
Diving Mad. Is
that
making
does,
me
that
crazy.
Song does make me crazy, dude. That song does. It's so true.
What about the whistle solo?
It's crazy Floridian music, though. I'm surprised if he's not from Florida.
You lady live in the
because
jungle.
It's like...
He's singing about papayas and shit? That's not good for rock.
He's like he should endlessly tour with Jimmy... What's his face?
Jimmy Eat World?
Buffett.
Oh. Buffett?
Yeah.
Damn near killed him. What?
Buffett? I don't even have time to polish it.
I didn't even wash the thing. But yeah, so I think maybe Steve's returning to his bluesier roots. Maybe on a upcoming episode, we will showcase a little bit of the early
All
Steve.
Because right. So
it was true. It was true and it was passionate. And then I think,
I'm not saying that he was never passionate about his music.
Well,
I think
I'm
radio
not either.
Killed his music.
That's what happened.
And now he's a laughing stock in the state fair circuit.
Exactly.
But that's fine. I mean, I'm sure that pays well for him, you know, and if you're happy performing there, right, then that's what it is. You got a guaranteed summer tour every year, you know. You got income coming in, and that's something you can count on. And you could take 9 months off.
Stevie Guitar Miller.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he was big on guitar, but I didn't know, you know, I mean, I only know the...
But you know those songs that I mentioned, like even like Swing Town and Wild Mountain Honey?
Yeah. Oh,
those don't have good, extensive guitar solos in them that are totally impressive.
No, they're kind of bluesy, though. They're kind of like
folky,
like more acoustic-y, right?
Quit folking around.
Like, you know, Mountain Honey, isn't it like an electric... No, it's not like a guitar heroic song. But, like, Abracadabra, is that really a guitar-laden song?
That was 84, and he was being sucked into what the record companies wanted him to do, which he already did in the 70s.
Well, I think it was more organ-based, right? He had song, I remember, I was, you know, as
it did have a guitar solo in it, though. It was all weird and quirky.
I was like 84, you know, I was 8 when that song came out. It was catchy. I was like, hell yeah, I know Steve Miller. That guy rocks.
Yeah.
He wants to fucking reach out and grab me.
Yeah.
That is wrong.
I know. Why would he want to do that?
I don't know.
And why would he have to cast a spell, like a magic spell on you? Because when you say abracadabra, you're just like trying to make someone disappear.
Maybe
that's the only thing that rhymes with cadabra.
That is. What about ABBA? Abra.
I like to listen to ABBA and Steve Miller, Abracadabra. Both
and Milli Vanilli. You could go with that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but yeah, I guess I've not delved into the earlier stuff of Steve Miller, and I'm not going to judge that because, you know, you look at Pink Floyd and how different they were between their early career and after they became famous and stuff, and they had quite a different... sound themselves, even though I like both of those.
Yeah. A lot of bands have, like, such different incarnations that they basically sound like a different band.
No, the thing of Pantera.
Yeah.
They were, like, hair metal.
Butt metal.
Yep.
God, that took a long time for us to talk about butts. I wish Lance was here, because then he would have to know that we don't always just sit around talking shit.
I know.
We do talk about bacon. Our fan Adrian Bacon recently commented on Sunday, a few days ago, was our oldest son's birthday. He turned 23, and my wife had posted that on Facebook, and he said, let me do the math. How can your son be 23 if you're only 29? And she's like, yeah, that's right, because I was a young whore. Thanks for giving the nice little compliment to the wifey there, Adrian.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening to the show, and I got a bacon story here.
All right.
Out of Des Moines, Iowa, Bacon beckoned at the 2013 Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, that's not too far from you. Well, it probably is, but it's at least on your side of the continent, Adrian. Maybe you could head down for the next year. They have a Bacon Blue Ribbon Festival. They saw a lot of homemade costumes, a bunch of bacon treats, customized attire, costumes at the Saturday homage to bacon included a couple from Davenport wearing 50 Shades of Bacon. A take on that popular novel that's been taking the housewives. Okay, say it.
I had no idea. I knew it was a popular book. I had no idea what that was about.
BDSM.
Yeah, I saw it on a news report the other day, and it was Lisa Ling, and she was going, and I went undercover in the world of BDSM for my look into the 50 Shades of Grey.
You didn't know that's what it was about?
No, I'd never heard what the book was about. I heard 50 Shades of Grey or whatever, and I knew it was like a romance thing and stuff, and it was popular. I didn't know any idea that it was like bringing that to the mainstream.
I know. My wife read it and probably the sequel. Three of them. Mm-hmm. Actually, she could probably talk about it if she wants to.
Yeah.
No. She just came here and she's going to eat some pizza later.
Pizza now?
No, pizza later.
Pizza later.
That's another sponsor.
Like, that's like, it sounds like it's some machine that makes pizza. Pizza later.
Yeah, it's like a... Like a percolator.
Yeah, it's like a percolator. It perks, it pizzas your coffee.
So, yeah, they had the 50 Shades of Bacon, a couple dressed like that, which I don't know how you would dress as that.
Maybe Lisa Ling looked awkward going through just that whole thing on the news. It was funny.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that, but my wife did.
Yeah, it was.
But they had also a pig posing provocatively and a couple from Montezuma dressed as Vikings. Oh, that's what it was, the 50 Shades of Bacon.
Oh, that was probably their revenge, huh?
Vikings and bacon, Roy Hill toyed the Des Moines Register. Come on. What could get any better? 8,000 people snagged passes to the bacon extravaganza at the Iowa State Fairgrounds.
And their passes looked like bacon.
I wouldn't doubt it. They had to wait about 15 minutes before they could enter the festival, and they didn't even mind. World Wrestling Entertainment star Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there. Who was he was always known for carrying a 2x4 into the ring.
He didn't do the hey, though. He did. He just did the ho.
So you remember when he used to bring that big slab of 2x4?
Yeah, over his arm.
So check out what he did at the Bacon Festival. He came out with a huge slab of bacon.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Hacksaw
like a
Jim.
Huge, like an actual slab?
It was a large prop that looked like bacon.
Oh, just so like one bacon strip?
Big old slab.
That's awesome.
And he roamed around the auditorium like mean mugging people with his fucking bacon slab.
That's
like
cool,
he was
going
to beat him.
Yeah, that was his trailer. You'd always get pictures of that's cool, man.
Yeah, and so here's a quote from Hacksaw. He said, you know what? I've been telling everybody. Yesterday I had bacon and eggs for breakfast. I had a BLT for lunch. I had bacon bits on my salad for dinner. So I've been training for the Bacon Festival.
Nice.
And he's had his big slab.
Bibbidi bobbidi bacon. Thank you, Jim. What's his name?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
No, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh.
I wanted to give him credit for his bibbidi bobbidi bacon.
Yeah, he likes to talk about bacon and
Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
Why does he talk like that sometimes?
That's what he's talking for you. He's taking control of your thoughts and telling you what to think he's telling you how to react to his act.
This guy's weird.
Is that comic vainness when a comic is telling you
what you think,
how to react to his act?
Is all he gonna do is
need
talk
that?
About bacon?
So do you need that?
I don't know. He's about the only guy that does that. That's a pretty good
It is a good
shtick.
Did you What about the, you know, Carrot Top wasn't the original prop comic.
What was his big prop?
He wasn't the original prop comic. He's a prop comic now. He's got a warehouse of 50,000 props or something like that in Vegas.
Yeah, but I don't like that guy.
Why? What about him? His eyebrows?
That, his face is weird looking now, but like back in the day, I don't know what I didn't like.
You
about
don't.
Him,
you got to. You give him respect as a prop comic, though, right? As a strictly a prop professional prop comic, like he creates his own props, or at least like brainstorms them and has somebody create them for him. And
right.
He's got like a partner doing that, but I mean, you know, he's topical. He's creating content all the time for his act.
Maybe I need to watch him more because I just get never really.
I'm not a big Carrot Top fan. I
maybe
think he's
I
kind
just
of
never
a laughing stock.
Thought that prop comedy was that funny.
Yeah. But I mean, he, you know, that he probably works hard. I mean, he's got a show in Vegas that he does every night that's got to be topical, right? And
oh, for sure.
With it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he is goofy. But yeah, he's not the first prop comic. There are ones that came before him. Some people say that Bruce Baum, remember?
Oh,
we
yeah.
Talked about him.
And he Gallagher.
And Gallagher, yeah.
They were both using props on Make Me Laugh in the late 70s, mm-hmm. early 80s. And I think we talked about it on the Zappatag cast or something when Frank Zappa was a celebrity guest on Make Me Laugh. And Gallagher was actually one of the comedians that tried to make him laugh.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it.
He didn't even crack a smile. Well, he kind of...
Gallagher wouldn't make anybody laugh today.
Because he brought out a big white thing, and I can't remember what he said it was, because it was painted white, but it ended up being a watermelon, of course, and he smashed it, and it went all over the place, and that's not funny.
Yeah.
Why is smashing watermelons funny?
I thought it was funny when I was like 5, and I'd watch that on when we had Showtime or whatever, and Gallagher would come on, and I'd go, dude, that guy's funny, look at that big boat, and they play Sea Cruise in the background.
I think black people would hate Gallagher, because he was always smashing watermelons.
It is wasteful, and maybe that's... It is wasteful. Now he's a Republican comic. It doesn't make any sense.
And does he really have a brother that took his place when he was in a coma?
I think they both do acts.
But does he perform as Gallagher when Gallagher is out of commission? Are they twins?
I think they perform as the same act. They might.
That's fucking weird, man.
You might as well. I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's some guy that looks like Mario smashing watermelons.
That's like two Queensrÿches. I mean,
he probably charges his brother a royalty, though. He probably goes, well, he used my name. You got to give me 40%. Right?
40%.
Well, because most of the ticket sales are coming from the Gallagher name, not because, you know.
Right. Now, that reminds me of something I was talking to my dad about, where I was talking about Gail Zappa and the Zappa Family Trust trying to shut down some of the Zappa tribute bands, saying, you know, you can't do that.
Stage anymore.
Pajama people.
Is that what she's saying? You can't do that on stage anymore?
Basically. Yeah,
isn't
she
that
should.
Something his?
She, yeah, that was a big series of 6 volumes of double CDs that were released by him of live performances. But it just, I don't know. What do you feel about that? Because my dad was like, yeah, what she wants to get is part of the door, because she's thinking those people wouldn't come to see you if they didn't think that it was going to be Frank Zappa's music and a dude that was in Frank Zappa's band. But she shouldn't have. I don't think she should have control over that.
I don't
in the
think
free
so,
world of music
no.
You're allowed to play covers anytime you want, right? Unless you're going to be recorded on TV and broadcast for some type of...
Actually, the promoter of a show is responsible for paying the royalties for any live performances.
Okay.
But
I'm talking about bands performing in bars doing covers.
Yeah.
The bars pay for that, right?
I don't think you should target the people that are in the in it for you know, paying tribute and don't make like a living doing it, right?
Just check out this side
of
the story.
If you were making a living off of it, you know, that was the only thing you were doing, then you probably should like seek, you know, permission. But if it, you know, if it's on a hobby scale and you're just doing shows here and there and you're not like, you know, making $50,000 per musician per year, right?
Yeah, and here's the way I look at it, like, so these bands are out there, you know, playing this music because they love it.
Yeah.
They're working their asses off to learn and perfect this music and perform it at a top-notch scale to where it's worthy of what it is. Now, what do you think these people that go see this that haven't heard of Frank Zappa and go, man, that was incredible. They're going to go out and buy a Frank Zappa CD. They're not going to, they don't have Pajama People CDs.
You could argue in her side.
It's going to increase sales.
Legally and business. in business.
It seems to me it would increase it's awareness of Zappa.
I don't personally think it's the right thing to do, and I don't think it's the artist friendly, and I don't think that's probably what Frank would want.
No.
So, and I think those are the things you have to weigh in the decision. But if all you're worried about is the money, and
we're only in it for the money,
and the business side of it, there is an argument in her favor in that. Not that I agree with it.
Right.
But, just legalese.
Legalese?
Yeah.
Legally. Oh, yeah.
What if you put in a corn dog a bacon instead of a hot dog?
Just like a clump of bacon?
Yeah.
Or just...
Why not? They make like bacon straws. So, you could just make a larger bacon straw and then fill it with bacon.
I know. How about
maybe it'd
you,
be
like...
too crunchy.
Or say you took like 6 strips of cooked bacon,
mm-hmm.
and like adhered them together with maple syrup, just so they kind of stuck together.
Whoa!
And then deep fried that in a batter.
Oh man,
bacon syrup dog. So you better edit that part out so we can actually start a Kickstarter for the bacon bacon maple syrup
man,
dog.
I have so many ideas kicking around in my brain, I don't even know how to control them all.
He's right a brain now. Kickstarter. He's got a Kickstart on
it. I know,
brain.
I'm addicted to it now.
Kickstart my brain.
Dude, yeah. Lance brought over the Victims of Internal Decay Coloring and Activity book the other day, and I thought, let's put that out there.
Yeah, the next Sick Daddy publication.
Yeah, it looks fun. It's going to have 15 or 16 different pictures you can color. There's a few pictures of you in there holding joints, I notice, in probably each picture.
I used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
And I still
you
do.
You drank a lot of lemonade before this show. Is that true?
That's too sure. Yeah.
Or was lemonade a code word?
No, I think I was drinking some Country Time lemonade at the time.
Really?
I was going through a lemonade phase, yeah. And
right
I liked soft batch cookies and those Gator chips. What were they mm-hmm. called? Remember those? They weren't around for very long. They were called like Gator Tater.
Were they like Gator chips? Because they meant Gator chips.
They might have been Gator chips.
No, I don't recall them.
I had some stickers on my base and shit of Gator chips.
Nice.
I was always pretty loyal. Like, if I started liking something and eating it, I just
Well, you still
stuck
are,
with
right?
It.
Like oh, Mountain yeah. Dew.
I stick with
right?
it. Well, I was a Pepsi guy for years.
Yeah. Well, Pepsi product, right?
Yeah. I don't like Dr. Pepper, sorry.
That's fine. It's more for me.
And my wife.
Yep.
You got to share with my wife.
Yep.
Because she's
and
a doctor.
There's a...
She's a pepper. She's a pepper, too.
You're outnumbered.
I thought you forgot what we were talking about for a second.
I did. What were we talking about before that?
How did I know? We were talking about the Void Activity book.
Oh, yeah.
And me holding
and you drinking lemonade. I didn't know if that
did
was like the stoner way because it was like...
Acid.
I got to get ready. I got to get my voice ready, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
like
we
so
had...
you drink lemonade, but it's kind of like, I ain't going to go with no straight lemon water.
We had some... Jeff Simpson up in the studio with us, and he was making sure we didn't drink any beer or anything. Just drink some tea to save your voice.
Uh-huh.
Save our voice for singing so he could go, rawr, rawr, rawr. The cigarettes and the weed and the beer helps the death metal voice,
yeah.
Jeff. I don't know. I actually heard from Jeff this week because I contacted him. Haven't heard from him for a while. I told him to keep his eye open for a rock bass because the bass I have is just way too metal for Bojamo people.
Mm-hmm.
And I told that to them, and he said, you know what? You're right. It is. Looking. He goes, it sounds great. You play it wonderfully, but yeah. If you could. I got another one that's like a Les Paul copy that's real cool, but it needs new strings, so I didn't bring it today, and it's got some issues. I'm either going to have that fixed up. And he goes, I'll find a cheap one for you. I'll find you one. And he goes, by the way, I miss you guys. I was like, yeah, what have you been doing, man? He's like, oh, friends, family. And I said, you've been doing your friends and your family? Dude, that's sick. Why don't you just hang out with them and stuff? But yeah, he's gonna get back to me.
Right on.
2 days ago.
We got some of those. We still got some of those movies tomorrow. We got the Big Benefit
what?
Coming up. We haven't even talked about it much.
No. We mention it on the plugs every week and every mm-hmm. episode, but we haven't talked
yeah.
about it. Let's talk about
Man,
it.
Man, it's coming up quick. It's this weekend. I think we're gonna have like a cash prize giveaway. We're gonna give away like that guitar that's all hand painted. I don't know if it's playable. I can't imagine anything being more wrong with it than just a neck if you wanted to, you know, get it fixed or
whatever,
right? Where
is this from? I don't know about it.
It's from the Catechist Gang. And Jonathan Pelcher is going to, he's been custom painting it.
Oh, my sports are dumb cohort.
Yeah.
All right.
And
cool.
Yeah, but I heard it's not really in playable condition. But if you take a, there's nothing really that could be wrong with a body that couldn't be fixed with a new neck and electronics at the worst, right?
Yeah, just ask Kurt Cobain. Well, yeah. He's dead. By the way, let's just get to that. Believe it or not, today would have been Kurt Cobain's 46th birthday. Whoa.
Dude, I got a tear crying out of my eye again.
I know, not even for fucking litter.
I know. Well, no, he littered. He did the ultimate litter.
He sprayed.
He didn't even clean up after himself.
Yeah, he littered the room with his brains.
It's too soon, probably.
No, dude, it's been, 94? It's been 19 years. Wow. In 2 months,
dude.
It's been 19 years.
Crazy.
Yeah, so he'd been 46, so we'll just get to the celebrity birthdays because Kurt came up.
He would have been older than John Lennon made it.
Yeah. He would be 2 years older than me right now.
He would be. He would have been.
He always
would have
was.
Made it. He would have made it way past Jesus.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was 33, but mm-hmm. now he's eternal, immortal. What do you call
I don't
it? Know. Also, just going to throw this one at you because there weren't any other celebrity birthdays that I recognized, but this name was just I couldn't. Happy 44th birthday to Vaginal Davis.
Who?
You heard me. Vaginal Davis.
I don't do, is that a local person?
No, nope, that's a celebrity.
No, right, Vaginal Davis.
Yeah, he is a nationally known cross-dresser and drag queen.
All right.
Vaginal Davis.
No.
It sounds like.
How old is he? 50-something?
44.
44.
Yeah. So you know they haven't been doing it more than 30 years. And our good buddy and fellow podcaster, Seth Milstein. Well, heard you had a birthday.
I heard he's got a tight birthday.
He's got a tight 15-year-old girlfriend that his wife doesn't know about it. Just kidding. Sorry, Seth. I think he's 36 today. So happy birthday, Seth. Hopefully you're listening to the show.
Yeah. And in celebrity deaths, I don't have any. Are you done with the birthdays? You got
yeah, but what
birthdays?
About that dude? That from you didn't see anything about that guy that produced that movie that I was talking about on Monday called
Boondock Saints?
Yes, thank you.
I haven't.
He was young, 40-something, and he's dead, but I didn't see anything else about it, so sorry, dude.
Yeah, I wasn't dead. Going to go into a death, actually. I was just trying to make a weird segue, but I was watching last weekend the slam dunk contest, and there was this guy on there, and he had long flowing locks and a ponytail, you know, and it kind of looked like I commented that it was a WNBA hairstyle, right?
Right.
You know, and I got long hair, so I guess
lesbian.
I can say that, right? And Matt and Lance told me that it's actually the first NBA player to have had two moms. Raised by two moms.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought, well, he does kind of have the build of a lesbian. So,
the build and the hairstyle.
Yeah, and so, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah,
you know, there's
not.
It's just an observation.
Right. I'm all for gay marriage.
Yeah, and that's cool, you know, I mean.
But you know what I'm not for? Gay divorce. I think once you get married and you're gay, you should just have to stay married.
And you just got to pound it out.
Exactly. Unless you, like, revert or jump the fence, then if you're not gay anymore, then you could get divorced, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. What is the divorce rate amongst gays and lesbians?
Well, geez, you'd think you'd have to go through so much to get it that you would never.
That's true.
Like,
so maybe they should tighten up the restrictions on regular marriage.
Exactly.
And so you know you really have to go through that before you know, and then their divorce rates would probably go down.
Like, I think it should be kind of like your VFMF thing. You have to submit an essay to the state saying how much you love your wife and why you think you should be married, and then they have to put you through a bunch of background checks and make sure that you're a stable emotional person that's not going to freak out somewhere down the line.
And that you know, then you have to go on the couple's version of Wipeout, you know, and You got to go on the Amazing Race so you know that you can like travel for 30 days
and
in
find
a
out where their
situation.
Loyalty, find out where their loyalties lay and make sure, yeah. Or lie, whichever you want to talk
lie.
About. Don't lie about your loyalties. And then once you finally make it through all the rigmarole.
Is that like a spaghetti?
I was going to say rigorous tests, but rigmarole came out, which is not even how you pronounce it. So after that, and you got married, you probably wouldn't want to just forsake that after you worked so hard.
Yeah.
For it. So,
especially if you're like 90 and had to go through all that, you know, when you hear people at 90 years old getting married.
Oh, I just read a story, but I didn't even take notes on it. But like a 76-year-old and an 82-year-old couple got married in a pharmacy or something weird. I didn't read the story, but it was just odd.
Did they make sure they were of sound mind and body?
I think they didn't know where they were.
Well, they, you know,
they had Alzheimer's and they thought they were. He's like, "Do you have joint pain?"
I don't know. I don't know if anybody wants to check to see if a 9-year-old is of sound or body.
It's not. Yeah. And it's not nearly as much of a commitment when you say "till death do us part" when you're 82.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't know. Maybe I think that they were probably had Alzheimer's and they were just answering physical health questions.
They probably were. Yes, I do have shingles.
And he's a sad clown.
He is.
Dude, he was so sad.
Was he?
He was sad. He was.
Dan seems more of a performance artist.
Oh,
type.
Big time. Yeah.
You know, and
for
so,
sure. And he likes, we were talking about, he likes odd stuff.
Yeah, and he likes to freak people out in a way.
He likes like the Three Stooges and like 50s radio and like
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Exactly.
Right?
Fibber McGee, you got it. Fibber McGee.
And did you ever watch news radio?
I started watching the first season. I think I talked about it on the show before, but
yeah.
I keep finding new shows and then I watch them until I lose interest or forget that I was watching them. But dude, that show's hilarious.
Yeah.
I remember when they banned smoking.
Yeah.
And then Phil Hartman couldn't talk right. And there's just so many. I love Stephen Root's role on there. And even Foley. I mean, he's not my favorite, but
yeah.
I don't know.
He's respectable, though. I saw him today on Hot in Cleveland, I think. You ever watch that show?
Is that
the menopause show.
Is that the nanny chick?
No, that's Happily Divorced.
Okay,
I didn't even know that show existed till today.
Oh, is Betty White on Hot in Cleveland?
Yeah,
okay.
And Valerie Bertinelli.
Whoa.
And some
TV Land?
And then the chick from Frasier. The one that Niles always had a crush on.
I'm glad to know
lady.
That I don't know anybody off that show.
Some other chick, you know. What happened was, you know, I have a problem laziness not changing the channel, right? And last night on TV Land, they've been showing all night, they show Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then I watched
show.
On, and then when I woke up today, Roseanne was screaming in my ear.
She talks like she's always chewing gum. Like
she's
like
chewing her cheeks.
I think she's chewing her cud. Because I'm like a domestic goddess. I remember the first time I saw her, I didn't really think she was that funny, but
yeah. The sitcom was well, but I mean it had a good cast around it, you know, mostly John Goodman was really, you know, strong. I thought it was the strongest part of the show.
Oh, and a tie-in for Roseanne, Darlene showed up on 24 in episode or season two.
Sarah Gilbert.
And spoiler alert, she dies.
Dude, I was going to try to keep up with you.
I watched
part of season. I kept going back to season one. Every time the show would stop on my computer, I'd have to refresh it. And then I'd go to season one and I'd go, I've already seen this episode.
Yeah, and then that pisses you off and you don't even want to watch it.
Yeah,
I am almost halfway through season two.
All right.
Nuclear bomb threat on the town of L.A.
You know what would always make me think this is season one again? It's when that guy from the Allstate would show up.
Yeah, and he's president now.
Yeah,
he actually won.
Oh, he is in season two.
Yeah, he made, so it's like it doesn't tell a timeline, but it hints to that it's about 9 months later. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Do you ever?
Now I noticed
hear that
this
in your sleep.
No, but on season one, when it was coming to a commercial, that beep, 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 beep would get louder and louder, and then it would go to a commercial, which there was no commercial because it's Netflix, and then it would start going beep, beep, regular volume again. And I noticed that it was like a crescendo before the commercial. Season two doesn't do that.
Nice,
good because it was fucking annoying.
I know, I hate that kind of shit.
But I'm still waiting for. President Palmer to say, that's all states stand. But he never does. Yeah, his wife came back, and there's a bunch of shit going on. And
you remember that little kid's book, The Cat Came Back?
Yeah, I remember the song, too.
Mm-hmm.
That
the very
cat
next day.
Came back the very next day. Oh, shit, you know what I didn't do?
Dude, you got to check out La La Land. Of all the shows I've, you know,
so what network was that on originally?
It was on Showtime, I think, or HBO.
Oh.
At the time.
So
and it was
gonna,
just one quick season. It was maybe like six episodes.
So it's going to have to be a YouTube thing?
Yeah, they show. It might be. I just, that's the only place I found it when I was looking yesterday, and I was watching, and it was okay watching there. But yeah, you know, I watched the first minute, and I was already wanting to watch the whole series again.
Ah.
It's funny. He was the prop. It's a guy. It's a comedian from, I gather he's a comedian or like some kind of comedic actor over in Britain.
He thinks he's funny.
Right. And he comes over to America. This is his first time to America. And he plays three or four different characters.
Okay.
So one, he's like this like meat-headed guy, like the life of the party. All my friends tell me I'm the life of the party. You know, I always tell the funny jokes. They go, Mickey, you should be in movies. So here I am to come and be in movies. And that's where I got the I did a poo joke. He told that to us. So I'm like famous actress that was on the show. Like some award-winning actress he's sitting there talking to in her backyard of her billion-dollar home or something.
I had to read that back like 10 times to get it.
Yeah, and then
I did a poo. What? I did. You're like, you did? And I'm like, I did a poo? Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know if it'd come over in text very well. But then in one, he's like a documentary film star, and in another, or not a film star, but a documentary. And in one, one of the characters he plays is a psychic who just got in trouble. He kind of got exiled from England because his psychic abilities told him to tell a family to stop looking for a little girl because she was dead, and then she showed up like 3 days later. And so he was exiled.
That's scary. Not scary, but
it is, you know, it's a funny show.
Well, I'm going to check it out. I will have to look at it. I don't have Showtime, and I don't think that it's. Have you ever looked to see if it's on Netflix?
No, I have not ever looked.
You have not ever looked?
No.
Well, I will check it out. Yeah. I didn't think I was. Just a second ago before you finished that story, I was like, oh shit, you know what I didn't do?
Hook up.
But I did it. I lied. So it's time for this.
What's in Hans's CD player? Find out now and we'll find out later. What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool because you know he's a player.
He's not a player.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
Hey, that's so weird that it ends with that because it doesn't. That just goes... it just goes to show you that I'm pretty stupid sometimes. Anyway, he always has to throw us a fucking left... hook or a right curve.
Let me guess. What decade?
I've never even heard of this. It's a guy's name and the word trio afterwards.
Oh, it's the Heavy Johnson trio.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Was it?
No, it's the Bill Evans trio.
Oh.
Hans?
Bill Evans, though. That's famous, right?
Oh, he must be.
Is that like a country from Elvis days?
It better not be. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it can be. Let's see if he can get there first. But he's listening to an album called Moonbeams by the Bill Evans Trio. And
what about the Bull Shannon Trio?
See, maybe he's maybe he's trying to get us to, you know how you're giving him bands to listen to that he's never heard of? Maybe he's just doing that. Or maybe it's just what he really... Oh, he's a jazz pianist.
No, he is, and a composer who widely worked in the trio setting.
Holmes likes those jazz pianists.
Does he?
And he's a jazz saxophonist. Yeah, he was listening to...
He looks goofy. He's dead, though. He died in 1980.
Wow.
He's a modal jazz player. What's that mean?
Modal?
And third stream is a genre of jazz.
Oh, he plays in certain modes. Oh. Like he's like if he's going to be playing in the Phrygian mode or...
He was also big in the genre of post-bop.
Whoa. I like the pre-bop and the unskinny bop more than the way more than the bop.
He's widely to be considered one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time.
Hans likes great pianists.
is the most influential post World War II.
They're for pianoing out of.
Yep.
Get it, Hans?
Piano. Get a
lot of, it's for pianoing out of. Block chords.
Yeah.
So I think modal means that when he played in a certain mode, he would stay in that mode throughout the composition, whereas a lot of other jazz composers and players will just be like off the cuff, switching into different modes all the time because it's like a free form type thing. So he was a jazz, maybe a jazz player that liked to play by the rules a little bit.
He joined Miles Davis' sextet in 1958.
He sexed him?
Yep.
Yeah. Sexed him up, huh?
Yeah.
He joined him in sex?
Yeah. And then he was a leader.
So Bill Evans was gay?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
In 1963, he recorded an innovative solo album, used the unconventional technique of overdubbing over himself.
Huh.
He called it Conversations with Myself.
Wow. Good job, Hans. You're making us learn stuff. And now Dustin is going to try to think of something that you've never heard of while I tell you that.
Oh, man, that's a once-a-week thing. Otherwise, I'll burn them all out.
Oh, okay. Right on. Then we'll just go to what I've been listening to, which yesterday and the day before was totally Frank Zappa, because I went and jammed with Pojama people. I had a Pojama jam with Glennard and Muhammad Ali.
What's our kitty's name?
One's Lisa, and I think the other is Max.
All right, Lisa and Max.
Neither one had hats on. But I gave him some Cats and Santa Hats cards, and I
gave him
some VHMF cards, and I gave him a SOC CD.
That's badass, man.
A poker chip and a Rolaid.
Yep.
And I'm not sure. He said, is this CD going to give me heartburn? And I said, possibly. Or maybe something you eat at the poker game that you will be playing with one chip. Hopefully the ante's not more than one red chip. First Annie up. So yeah, I've been listening to not just one CD, but a playlist of all the Pajama People songs, and had a successful outing with them last
That's
Saturday.
Badass.
They were impressed and upped my songs to four from one or two. So
that's sweet.
That was cool. Yeah. Someone's
my
at the door.
Junk drawer. I found a movie with 50 movies on it.
Dude, how can you have 50 movies?
That's
on
right
one
here.
Movie.
It's all in one box.
Whoa.
And they're chilling classics. And are you a fan of chilling classics?
Big time. I have two compilations. They both have 15 movies on them. So I got 30. I don't know if it's...
You got 30 chilling classics?
Well, they're not chilling classics. They are chilling classics, but they're not titled chilling classics.
Yeah, these are more chilling than horror.
15 horror stories, which is mostly like Bela Lugosi, Vincent Price... A Little Shop of Horrors, Jack Nicholson, just all those early black and white.
I don't know the difference between chilling and
It's like music genres, dude. You don't know. It's all up to the beholder.
So I was going to name a few to see if you've seen any of these
movies. Do it.
Jesse James Meets Frankenstein's Daughter from 1966.
Nope. Never heard of it.
All right. What about Man in the Attic from 1953 with Jack Palance.
No. Never.
I'm assuming he was in the attic. What about Medusa with George Hamilton?
I have that on one of my compilations.
Really? Have you seen it?
I don't think I have, because there's 30 movies. I haven't got a chance to watch them all.
Yeah, of course. I haven't even opened this thing, and I bought it like a year ago.
I watched Night of the Living Dead original and like White Zombie. Did you just go through that list and see if you can find one that you'd think I would have heard of?
That's a couple that I just thought so. What about Silent Night, Bloody Night with Patrick O'Neill, not Patrice O'Neill, but Patrick O'Neill?
I think that might be on there too, but I haven't watched it yet.
All right.
Because I've noticed that these compilations contain a lot
of
the same.
Them do.
They're like licensed to a certain company that just released some different ways.
What about A Bucket of Blood? I think I've seen parts of this. Black and white with Dick Miller.
Dick Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. How about Cannibal Holocaust?
Nope. Well, I haven't seen that, but that's the one...
Lance is going to let me borrow it. I'm going to borrow it before you, because I'll watch it before you
What
do.
About Eat Your Skin?
No, but I do that.
I eat your skin.
I do that sometimes. Not your skin. Sometimes I...
So, have you seen... Cannibal Holocaust?
No, I have not. I've read a lot about it. I saw some interviews
with Eli. Is it like the grossest movie ever?
It's the most controversial movie ever made, it says.
Oh,
Now, that's a controversy in itself, isn't it?
It is a controversy, and let me ask you about another controversial movie that was a controversial movie when it first came out, and I guess this one overtakes it or something. It was probably overtaken long ago, but...
Ouch.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
That wasn't that controversial. I mean, it was, but not
at the time.
Not in this form of controversy.
No.
This is due to its shocking and violent subject matter. No one under 17 should ever view.
What about some of those
film?
Old, like, Blood Feast movies and stuff? You
this
know, those
kind
are
of...
pretty weird, like that. You know, that are. They don't even have a plot. They're just all swimming in blood and orgies.
Yeah. This is banned and heavily censored around the world.
I thought you said it was banned in heaven.
It was. It was. If there's a heaven banned, it's going to be one hell of one.
Is Eric Clapton in it?
Not yet. Not till he falls out the window. Too soon.
Oh, is that what he meant by tears are falling?
Tears in heaven.
I know, but the tears are falling.
That was
in heaven.
That was Paul Stanley's
I know.
Homage to Eric Clapton before it even happened.
Oh,
you didn't
I didn't know
Paul Stanley
Nostra
was a psychic.
Stanlius.
Yeah, Paul Stradamus. Paul Stradamus.
What's your favorite Yul Brynner movie, or one that you've seen?
Let's see if I can even think of one. I know he had a shaved head. That's all.
All right, let me go. Have you watched many of those movies from like the 50s and 60s that are like the epic genre, like the movies that are like 3 hours long and just like
I hate
you
those.
Like the fucking one that what's the one where Moses parts the sea, 12 commandments.
The 10 commandments. What 12 commandments? What book are you looking at? Was there two extra things we weren't supposed to do?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not litter.
Mm-hmm. That was one of them, and thou shalt come to the casino once a month.
Thou shalt not give blankets with smallpox.
Yeah, that one didn't make it down the mountain.
That's why.
You left it up there.
Too bad for the engines.
It's like I can only carry so much.
I didn't want to carry 2.5
yeah.
tablets. These things are heavy.
My third hand was busy.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know. Was Yul Brynner in one of those fantastic movies?
Yeah. I know he was big back in the day. Death Rage from 1976.
I know he was in something that I saw as a child, but I can't remember because it wasn't good enough for me to remember. But anyway, I think that's probably enough for us humpers today. We're going to wrap this up and... See if I can't get me finagle me a guest for Friday's show. Hey, if you are a listener out there,
get this stem from my bong poked out by Friday's show.
You better keep poking.
I know.
What are you going to use? You got a pipe cleaner?
That didn't work.
It's too limp, huh? You got to heat it up, bro. Not the pipe cleaner, but the stem. Heat the stem up.
Oh, I don't have a lighter.
I do. There you go.
Actually. I was just making it up.
That was a good one. Okay,
well,
so
I didn't even know your trick there.
We'd like to thank you guys for listening, and we'd like to thank Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions for keeping us on the internet, because if
thank
it wasn't
you.
For them, we would probably be off the internet. We are off the air. Anyway, thanks to those guys, and check out terrygal.com for some shows coming up, and check
flyjelly.com.
out flyjelly.com. Yeah, and VMFMFHIJKLMNOP.org. Also go to sickdaddy.com where you can find links to all those great things. Tagcastpodcast.com is our website. You can find links to all of our social media BS. Follow us on Twitter and we'll make fun of you.
Hey, and I don't know, does Seth listen to this thing?
He does, but not religiously. No, he doesn't
not
listen.
Not Religious Week?
I don't think he listens. Yeah, not Religious Week. I don't think he listens to every episode, but he does listen.
I'd put a link to their show on that dude's chilling side if they wanted.
He's going to listen today because I'm going to tell him I gave him a birthday shout out.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to throw a link on that dude's chilling or like a little embed code.
And he's going to be mad at me because I told him he had a type 15. Your old girlfriend that is and that's what happens on hump day at the Tagcast podcast. So
it's
check
all
out
conjecture.
Yeah, we're just speculating. Check out the podcast cast with Seth Milstein. That's his
Make
birthday
him,
present
yeah,
to
get
us.
Get him to break 100 top 100.
I'm out to get him.
Oh.
We're in your rear views, all right? Yeah. Dylan, Flynn, Man Crush. Talking shit about my partner. I'll kill you. Remember he said that the Zappacast should be monologue.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
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 I think the tag.
I'm a producer.
If it wasn't for him, it'd just be me reading Wikipedia. So fuck that. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on Friday.
Rock on.
And Cannibal Holocaust.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggots. Are you guys ready for your rundown of shows coming up? I know you are. You got to get out and do something. Friday, February 22nd at the Baghdad Theater in Portland. It's comedy night with Christian Spillman and friends featuring myself. Philip Schallberger will be headlining, and a slew of comedy folks from Seattle coming down, including Fred Bowski, Jody Jensen, Travis Kinney, Dan Clayton, and James Milton. Doors open at 10 o'clock. The show's at 10:30. It's $5 at the door, 21 and over. February 23rd, Saturday night at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's Catechus, the Berated, and Brutos for the first VFMF benefit. That's a free show. Lots of prizes being given away. Starts at 9 o'clock. Come out and check it out, 21 and over. Friday, March 1st at the City in Eugene, it's the prelims for the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing Survival of the Funniest competition. I will be in that, at least for the prelims. It's at 2222 MLK Boulevard in Eugene, 8 p.m., 21 and over. It's a free show. Come out and support at 8 o'clock. Saturday, March 2nd at the Dixie Creek Saloon, it's a benefit for Brooklyn, featuring seven local bands donating their time and music for a great cause. Barry the Goat, Bikini, Lyndon and Amber Wood, the Milestoners, Ed to Shred, Strange Dichotomy, and the High Desert Hooligans. Huge show. Starts at 7 o'clock. 21 and over. It is free. Saturday, March 16th, also at the Dixie, Wicked Haven, Crimson Guardian, and Bikini. Another free show. Starts at 9 o'clock. 21 and over. Also that night, if you're not in the Tangent area, if you're in Eugene, go to the Wow Hall and check out We Have Guns with Tallboy, 30-Pound Test, and Audiophobia. Should be a great metal show there at the Wow Hall, all ages. Saturday, March 23rd, it's Nile at the Hawthorne Theater in Portland with Ceremonial Castings, World of Lies, and Heathen Shrine. Hit up Tony Avila on Facebook. He's my friend on there, and he can get you some cheaper tickets for that show. If you're into Nile, you should check those guys out. Wednesday, March 27th at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene, it's Pajama Peach Bowl featuring Ike Willis, formerly of the Frank Zappa Band. I am lucky enough to perform on three or four songs that night, so come out and support at Cosmic Pizza on 8th in Eugene. That's Wednesday, March 27th. On Friday, March 29th, at the Crystal Ballroom, it's Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. I'm lucky enough to get the VIP backstage passes with my good buddy Dave Forsythe for that night. Get your tickets. They're going to sell out, I think, because that's a kick-ass thrash metal show, and you should definitely go. Saturday, March 30th at the Roseland Theater, it's Clutch with Orange Goblin. Yeah, that's right. Clutch and Orange Goblin. You should check into that. It's going to be another great show up there in Portland. April 21st is the third annual Doug Benson 420 show. He's always a day late. That's at the Wow Hall. Tickets will be going on sale pretty soon. Check the Wow Hall website for information on that. Looking forward to this show. It's a ways down the line, but prepare for it. May 18th, it's Cannibal Corpse, Napalm Death, Immolation, Beyond Creation, and Cretan at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland. I'm hoping that's a weekend because I want to go to that. You should check the internet for tickets on that. Also in May on the 28th at the Star Theater, it's Bolt Thrower, Benediction, and Hellshock. That one's for you, Hans. Portland's legendary crust band Hellshock will be surfacing for a show opening for two of the other most legendary metal bands, Bolt Thrower and Benediction. So check out those shows, you guys. You don't want to just sit at home and be a stick in the mud. Go do something. Watch a comedy show or some live music. And then when you get home, you can listen to more of us, the TagCast Podcast at TagCastPodcast.com.